And that's encouraging. You know, you see somebody that's suffering, it's not easy for them, but they come anyway. And God will bless you for that, but you're an encouragement to us, and you've been a blessing to us. Obviously, everybody's heard about the conflict, the Russian invasion in Ukraine. Here's a map to kind of give you an idea of where the Ukraine is and where Russia is. And it's just a difficult situation. It's just unimaginable how people could be suffering like that. You know, when we started with COVID, we thought it was terrible. We couldn't find toilet paper. That was our big problem. Or we couldn't go just anywhere we wanted. But these people, it would be difficult living in the Ukraine without a Russian invasion. Becky and I went to Russia in 1994. There's with Elder Reeder Oldham from the Henderson Church. And they had started a new work there in Ufa, Russia. And we were considering actually moving there. And So we went there, and I'd studied, had made a Russian friend in Brazil. He was a basketball player, professional basketball player, and he couldn't speak Portuguese, but he could speak English. And so he taught me some Russian, and I studied on my own for about a year. And we went, and we thoroughly were blessed to be with the church. Here's the church in Ufa. They met in a university auditorium there, several university professors, highly educated people, well-dressed, but very, very poor. Extremely poor. Minimum wage was like $9 a month for a common laborer. These university professors made $30 a month, and the doctors made $50, and that was it. And just, it was amazing. But we fell in love with those people, and we even considered staying there and working and moving from Brazil. But we felt like we could do more in Brazil, and so we didn't. But we made good friends, baptized several people. Here's a photo of my nephew, RC, and his wife, Kate Dorsey, and their dog, Rambler. They're taken not too long ago at our house. And Kate, that's just short. Her name is Katarina. She's from Russia, and we've come to love her, and the Russian people are suffering, as well as the people in Ukraine. You know, I don't know if you saw some of the protests, people in Russia, about 2,000 people risking their lives of going to jail forever, and they went out and protested against the invasion. So it's just a lot of suffering that's going on unnecessarily. Here's a picture of Richard Beard. Many of you know Richard, Becky's brother, younger brother, and his six children. And most of you knew Ethan and Micah and Hope, but they adopted a couple of years ago three children from the Ukraine. And there are the two girls on the right. There is Lena and Luda, and their brother back there in the back on the right side there is Serhi. And so this is tough for everybody. I appreciate so much Keith's article in the bulletin. If you didn't read it, I'd like to encourage you to read it about praying for the Ukraine. And so we have to ask ourselves, why? Why would somebody, this is not a political message or anything, but why would somebody want to spend millions and millions of dollars to conquer a neighboring nation, one-third their size as far as population, no financial advantage. He said that he was afraid of Ukraine, that they might attack them, might join with NATO. He also said that he wanted to denazitize, get rid of their Nazi leadership, which is kind of funny because the president of Ukraine is a Jew. So I don't think they're very Nazi, but But we have to ask ourselves, why would somebody do that? And not only to Ukraine, destroy Ukraine, that will take decades and decades to overcome, but Russia itself is going to suffer drastically already with the boycotts of their petroleum products, with their banks being shut down from international markets, not to mention all the in and out of tourism and flights and sporting events and just so much. The people themselves and obviously Putin himself will be known as another Hitler for the rest of history. So why would somebody do this? Well, I can't tell you why, but I have three ideas, and I'd like to share those with you. First of all, it's just plain old pride. You know, the Bible talks a lot about pride, and we could probably do a whole summer series on pride, but Solomon wrote in Proverbs 13:10, he says, "By pride comes nothing but strife." You know, people want to... Well, they're more concerned not what is right, but who is right. I've got to be right. You know, it's a pride thing. It doesn't matter the facts. It's just the fact that I'm right. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." I I'm not a prophet. I don't have a crystal ball, but I don't think. No matter what happens with Ukraine and Russia, I can't imagine Putin being allowed to stay in power much longer. I think the Russians themselves will take care of that. I don't know. But we're praying that this will be over without, you know, as quickly as possible. You know, pride causes people to have a superinflated self-image of themselves, their personal value. They think, "I'm worth more than you are. I'm more important than you are." You've probably heard about the man who had his flight canceled at the airport, and he was upset, and he went up to the check-in desk and started banging on that and demanded a seat. And she said, "Well, get in line. You know, we've got other customers here first, and we'll take care of you when you come." And he goes, "No, but do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?" And so she got on the intercom and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, there's a man up here that doesn't know who he is. Could you come and please help him?" But pride causes us to do stupid things, foolish things. So much so, Paul writes Timothy, and he said that an elder couldn't be a new convert because he might get puffed up with pride, think that he's more important than he is, and fall in the condemnation of the devil. And so pride destroys many lives. Paul says in Romans 12:3, "For by grace given me to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." And so we're to consider others better than ourselves. We know that we're all created in God's sight, and you know, Jesus died for us all. There's no one more important. But the Bible says, you know, you should treat people, see people as better than yourselves, and that'll help you to get rid of that pride and treat people with respect. A few years back, when Saddam Hussein was refusing to let the international people come in and investigate whether or not he had weapons of mass destruction, and eventually he went to war and he had to flee, and eventually they found him in a hole and just kind of like an animal and just a sad situation and everything. But if he would have not had so much pride, they gave him an ultimatum to leave a certain date. He could have left with his family and his riches, but he refused that pride, and it was his downfall. A second possibility why Putin has invaded Russia or Ukraine is just for the fact that people like power. It's just kind of our carnal nature. Well, I want to be in charge. If you look back in the book of Genesis, Eve being so tempted by the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, she wanted to be more important. She wanted to do her will. She wanted to be in charge. And I think Adam, it was just he wanted something to eat. I don't know. But people are like that. We're like that. We want to be in charge. And that's why we find it so difficult to be faithful as Christians, because, yes, I want to be a Christian. I want God to, you know, bless me in every with every answer to every prayer that I have. but I still want to be in charge. And you hear people talk about to receive Jesus. Well, you know, to receive Jesus. 1 John says that he gave them the right to become children of God to those who receive him, and yes, but in reality, we're to surrender to Jesus. Because if when we receive him, we're still in charge. Okay, I'll let Jesus be my Lord and Savior. No, I surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. When I think about power, remember back in Matthew chapter 2, and Herod had, you know, the wise men left, and they didn't come back and tell Herod where the baby Jesus was, and so he was so angry. He had all the baby boys 2 years and under slaughtered because he's afraid to lose power. And sometimes it's possible that's what Putin was thinking. I don't know, because the little countries that used to be part of the Soviet Union have become countries independent, and democracy is starting to reign and show up, and people in Russia itself are not happy with the regime, the dictatorships that they're living under. And so maybe he was afraid, why, I have to stop, it's just spreading and it'll spread here to Russia. I don't know, but it's power that people want so badly. We think about Pharaoh. Think about how much Pharaoh suffered with those plagues, but he still wouldn't give in. He had to be in charge until he finally couldn't take it anymore, but it was a power struggle. And then last of all is godliness. Godlessness, I'm sorry. Why would Putin want to invade the Ukraine? And probably sums up in reality just godlessness. You know, Russia was a communist country for some over 70 years, and they're officially an atheist nation. Although 70 years ago, maybe a little longer now, but religion was tolerated. It's still tolerated, but if you want to be anybody in the government or anybody in society, you can't go to church. And so if you go to the churches there, there are churches around. As a matter of fact, in the Kremlin area, there are 7 churches, 4 of them inside the Kremlin and 3 more in the Red Square there. So there's a lot of history of Christianity in Russia, but officially they're atheists, and godlessness leads to terrible life. Paul writes, he says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And so that pretty much sums up why there's evil in the world. It's people that are godless. They don't recognize God's existence, or they don't submit to the Lordship of Jesus. And so we're open to anything if we live like kind of life. But how could atheists possibly know that God exists? Would it, I mean, if you're living in an official atheistic country, Uruguay has a lot of religious people, but officially their constitution was an atheist country. And so how could people possibly know? Well, the Bible says, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Also, I appreciate Mike reading Psalm 19, but I'd just like to reread the first 4 verses of that. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that there's a God. This world couldn't just come up and be so perfect, so wonderful as it is, just all on its own. Well, The human body also declares the glory of God. A few days ago, someone sent me an email, and it was really awesome. And I want to share a few of those slides of the email with you. But I redid the emails because you couldn't really read; it wasn't real clear. But also, I researched each one. I wanted to make sure, because sometimes you get things on an email that it's not maybe not quite right, and I didn't want to share anything that wasn't right. So these are have been fact checked. But on average, most people blink around 15 to 20 times each minute. That means while you're awake, you probably blink 900 to 1,200 times an hour, or 14,400 to 19,200 times a day. This is an involuntary reflex your body uses to keep your eyes clean and moist. Consider how many people and objects you look at every day. You don't even have to think about it. Also, the cells in your stomach lining produce an alkaline substance every few milliseconds to neutralize stomach acid. If they didn't do this, your stomach would digest itself because some of the acids are strong enough to dissolve metals. You know, we can eat some pretty tough meat and your body takes care of it, but why doesn't your stomach eat your stomach? Well, because God made it that way. Also, your brain doesn't stop working. It's estimated that on average about 50,000 thoughts pass through it each day. The average person at rest takes about 16 breaths per minute. This means we breathe about 960 breaths an hour, 23,040 breaths a day, or 8,409,600 a year. And we don't even have to think about it to do it, you know. And then last of all, the heart does more physical work than any other muscle in the body. The average heart pumps 2,000 gallons of blood per day, and it beats about 100,000 times a day. In a 70-year lifetime, an average human heart beats more than 2.5 billion times, and you don't have to think about it. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? To think of the extent of God's creation, from the galaxies in the universe to the creatures in the sea to the changing of the seasons, yet creation is nothing compared to how he lavishes grace and love on us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for blessing us, first of all, through Jesus and his crucifixion, his resurrection, Father, so that we can live with you forever. We can have our sins forgiven. We can know that our names are written in the book of life. And Father, we pray that you would help us to say no to pride in our lives and to surrender any control of our lives, all power, Father, to Jesus. And above all, Father, we pray that you would be first and foremost in our life and you would help us always to seek first the kingdom, your kingdom. And now, Father, we ask a special blessing on the people of Ukraine. Give them safety, Father. Give them all that they need. Give them hope. But also, Father, help this difficult situation, this crisis, Father, to help each and every one to look to you for their help. And we pray, Father, also that the leadership, the Russian leadership, would stop this attack, this invasion. They would see the foolishness of their ways and that they too, Father, would look to you for guidance and for wisdom and to know how to live in this world, Father. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come now. Stand.